Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Well, good morning, radio friends, and welcome to the Redemption Time broadcast this morning with Brother Larry Knowles. I do appreciate each one of you that has taken time to tune this way on this chilly Tuesday morning. I trust that you are warm and safe, and that God's taking care of you, and that you're doing well through this storm. And so we do appreciate everyone that listens each week, and then especially today, we do want to thank you for tuning this way. Now, to give you my church announcements there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, we're located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor, and we meet on Sunday mornings at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 morning worship, 6 p.m. for Sunday evening, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We invite you to come and be a part of any of these services that you possibly could. I know God would richly bless you if you do. Then one other announcement I'll make. This week, continuing tonight and tomorrow night, at the Gilead Baptist Church up on Rutledge Pike, Brother Mike Bagwell is the evangelist in a revival that's going on up there. I know that if you love good preaching, you love good singing, you love the Lord, you would enjoy and would be blessed by going and attending that meeting. So now we're going to have a song, and then we will be back with today's message, still continuing our look at the judgment of the nations or the Gentiles.
But
Well, that was the Joy Air singing On This Side of the Storm. As I was looking through these albums to see what I wanted to play today, that struck in my heart. And the reason I played that, she's talking about how that she's looking at a storm coming up in her life. How that she knows that God has always seen her through those storms. And sometimes on the head of the storm, we cannot see how in the world that God can get us out of this mess. And yet we do find, as a child of God, that if we trust Him, He'll stay with us through that storm and come out the other side. Now, neighbor, everybody's going to have storms in their life. I'm talking about crises. I'm talking about family problems, sickness, death in the family, all kinds of things that happen that puts us into the storms of life. And my friend, Jesus is the only one can help us through some of those. And He will help us through all of those. And I played that especially today because here was the thought. She's talking about looking at a storm in life. And as we've been hearing this past week all about this terrible storm that we are experiencing today, or coming out of, hopefully, I'm making this on Friday night before the storm's supposed to start tomorrow. And so we're still on this side of the storm. And I thought about how many preparations have been made for this storm. I have been working 2 days with different things. I do have a temporary auxiliary heater I had to get some fuel for and get it all hooked up. And I've got some ice melt ready. I've done everything I think of that I can do to be prepared for this storm. And I suspect that throughout this county and throughout East Tennessee and maybe throughout the whole country, people have been making preparations for 2 or 3 days for this storm. And the thought hit me that we will devote days, hours, nights, money, whatever it takes to be prepared for this storm that we've been told is coming. I'd like to warn you this morning, friend, that in life there are some storms that are going to come along. Sickness, pain, broken hearts, broken homes, maybe financial losses, all kinds of things that we face as storms. And so often we are not prepared for those. And yet many times we are prepared. If someone is in bad health, they might possibly go ahead and arrange their funeral. All kinds of things that can be done to prepare for those storms of life that come along. But I wonder today how many have made provision for that worst storm that will ever hit. That will be the storm that hits old Chili Jordan the day you draw that last breath and you cross from this world into the next. And friend, that will be the superstorm of your life. And today I just wonder, have you spent hours, days, countless hours, money, different things this week preparing for this physical storm that we know is coming? But what have you done to prepare for that storm at the end of the way when you must stand before God and give an account for your life? I just want to warn you, friend, that that storm is coming just as surely, even more surely, than this one. Because if you've been watching, it started out, it sounded just awfully, terribly horrible. Well, it's not going to be pleasant, but that's not as bad as they first said. But I can promise you, friend, that storm at the end of the way, it will be horrendous. My prayer today is, if the Lord speaks to your heart today, shows you that you're lost and need to be saved, I trust that you will heed the calling of the Holy Ghost as He speaks to your heart. Helps you to remember, no, I'm not ready for that storm. I'm not ready to go from this world into the next prepared to meet God. And if you find that you're not, all you have to do is just pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to come into your heart and save you. Trust Him. Cast all your cares and all your cast your confidence upon Him. Forget any good that you think you have done. Forget anything that you think you know is going to get you into heaven. because there is only one thing that will get you there, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is applied only when you trust Him and ask Him to save you. So today, before we get into the regular message, I thought I'd pass that along. Lord laid that on my heart as I looked at the title of that song. And I trust that you'll take these words to heart. If you're not ready to go through that last storm, I trust God will speak to you today. Well, we want to get back now to our series that we started. We've been working now for, this is the ninth session of this series, and we are now looking at the judgment of the nations as is found in chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. Jesus was telling the disciples, they were having the Olivet discourse, and he started off by telling them, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, if you interpret this Bible in any way and you do not look at the audience of who Jesus is talking to, or who this Bible is addressed to, you will miss the point. Because of the fact that this talks about sheep and goats, left and right, people get the idea that this is teaching a salvation by works. No, it has nothing to do with that. This is talking about a judgment of nations. Nations, as it's used in the book of Matthew, means Gentiles. God is going to judge the people of the Gentile nations when he comes back after the tribulation. And we have been looking at some things that refutes. We've told you what it was not. It's not the great white throne judgment that is reserved only for the lost. It's not a general judgment, because that does not exist. Each will be judged in their own time and in their own place and in their own way. The saved will be saved, be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The lost will be judged at the great white throne, which we will look at later on in this series. And it's not teaching a salvation of works. We brought to you some words that we said was significant, and one of them being cursed, and that means against, apart, or stoned down, one worthy, and sentenced to death. And then the other word was righteous, and the only righteousness that this Bible recognizes is the righteousness of Christ that is that is given to his people when they are saved. That robe of righteousness that he gives us, his very own, not ours, nothing we can do, no righteousness we have is more than filthy rags, is that. We must be born again. We must be washed in the blood. We must have that robe of righteousness that belongs to him and he gives to us. And then I want you to notice one other word of notoriety in this description. Verse number 34 says this. It said, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I do want to say that this word, inherit, that is a very familiar word that you and I hear all the time. And I was reminded that there was a young ruler came to Jesus and wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Well, Jesus said, you do all of these different things. And he says, well, I've done that my whole life. And he said, well, there's one thing you like. Go sell everything you got and come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he had many goods. Now, you cannot inherit eternal life unless you're in the family. Who is it that has an inheritance? It is a relative, usually a child. And the only way that these people that it's talking about here, he actually says that they can inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, I want you to remember that thing about the kingdom was prepared for this, for certain people. It is there. It was intent of it. It was intended for certain people, because we're gonna see a difference in that and something else as we move on. So, what is, if it's not the things that I have talked about? Oh, by the way, the only way that you can become an heir is by birth. You do not become a blood heir anyway other than by birth. And if you're going to inherit anything from God, it's got to be by birth. You got to be born again. Jesus told Zacharias that you must be born again. He didn't understand it, but he's talking about you must be born of the Spirit. You must be born of into the family of God through the work of the Holy Ghost and trust and faith in the bloodshed on Calvary and the burial, resurrection, and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and solely on His promise that if you did that, He would save you. So we find that if you want to inherit something from God, you got to be a child by birth. So if it's not these things that we've talked about, if it's not the great white throne judgment, if it's not a general resurrection and judgment, if it's not a teaching a salvation by works, what is it? Well, we said it is the judgment of the Gentiles. That word nations means Gentiles. As you know, if you are a student of the Bible, that Israel is God's chosen people. He chose them way back over in the Old Testament. He was with them when they went to Egypt. He was with them as they multiplied there and as they left. And no matter how many times they have gone back on Him and gone back into idolatry, He has stood with them and He still claims them as His own. And so this, what is about this judgment of the Gentiles? Well, let's look at, see if we can figure it out. I want you to notice that in these verses, there are three groups that are named. There are goats, there are sheep, and there are brethren. So who would the king who has the kingdom to offer call brethren? Well, it seems likely and logically that they are Jews. Remember, this is after the tribulation. They have heard the message of the 144,000 witnesses in the tribulation, and they have been saved. They're Jews that are saved. And since they have not received the mark of the beast, they can neither buy nor sell. So how will they survive? Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. These are Jews. You know they have to, that if they are saved, they have not taken the mark of the beast, because that is sure and positive damnation to do that. So they've resisted. If you've studied any about the tribulation period in Revelation, you know that it's time that the Antichrist, he'll set himself up as God. He'll have a mark that you've got to bear, and if you don't have that mark, you can't buy anything, and you can't sell anything. And no doubt you'll be hunted as a criminal, arrested, tortured, and killed. And so here are these, as we would call them, fugitives from that wicked system. How in the world are they going to survive during these horrible days of the tribulation? Well, they'll do it through the help and the aid of others. Through the help of Gentile believers, they have an opportunity to do this. So the goats are Gentiles, and the sheep is Israel. So how about how these beasts represented? How do they represent Gentiles? Well, they are distinguished by the representative activities. And you think about goats. Goats are stubborn. They're self-willed. They're aggressive, and they will not follow a shepherd. In a sense, the goat society that we live in today, supposedly, will do the same thing. They, even though it's not quite the same situation, they're following the same path. They're stubborn. They will not bow. They will not submit to needing a Savior. They will not recognize their need or the greatness of the one that came to save them and receive him. They're still stubborn, hard-necked, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and will not follow a shepherd. These goats represent, as we're looking at this, those unsaved Gentiles who, without Christ, have no compassion for God's people. They're callous, and they're cold, and maybe part of the world who in that day was hated and turned on them. You see, an awful lot of what we see going on in this world today, in fact, everything is directly tied to the future of Israel. God has a plan. He's going to turn Israel back unto himself. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ when he came the first time, offered himself as their Messiah, and should have known who he was by what he did. If they didn't compare it to the scriptures and recognize him that way, they should have at least recognized the miracles and the works that he did, and should have known that no ordinary man, no ordinary prophet could have done that. And yet they didn't. They refused him. They rejected him. And so for that reason, they have for all these years suffered at the hands of Gentile rule. And then there's coming a time when that rule is going to be changed, and the Lord's going to put Israel through the tribulation period. And at the end of that, they will turn to him. He is their God. He is still their God, and he always will be their God. They will always be his people. And so, we see today that the whole world is today even is turning against Israel. So much anti-Semitism going on in this world and in our great college, supposedly, campuses, which are nothing more than breeding grounds for anarchy, communism, and socialism, and the destruction of this country. And so they hate Israel, and they protest against him, and they do all of these things, which is just simply a symptom of a deeper problem, and that is that this whole world will one day turn on Israel. So some of them will be so cold and callous that they'll hate and turn on them. Then there might be another class of people, of the Gentiles, these goats, who just may not care one way or another, but they just won't risk the consequences of helping them and sharing with them. And you know what? The Bible says to me that if you know to do good and you do it not, that to you it's sin. These are sins of omission. Let me tell you something that I am a very firm believer in. I believe that if a child of God sees a legitimate need, someone who genuinely needs help, and they have the means to help them, and God lays it on your heart to help them, and you don't do that, To you, that is a sin, just like as you had shot somebody, just like if you had stolen somebody something, just like you had done some of the other sins of commission. If you see that need, and you say that you're a child of God, and you close up your bowels of compassion, then, friend, I do believe that for you, that is sin. And as you see, the Lord rewarded those who did those things, but those that who did not, those goats, they got sent into hell. So then I want you to notice who is the second group. The second group are the sheep. Sheep are timid, docile, and must be led by a shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And followers, sheep are followers of the shepherd. Gentiles who never heard and refused salvation before the rapture, who have heard the 144,000 and have heeded messages, helping fellow Christians in deep trouble. I believe the sheep are those Gentiles who are willing to run the risk of their own demise or punishment, and will step out and will help these Jews who are in the worst kind of trouble. They do not do it for reward. Because if you look in verses number 37, when Jesus told them that all of these that had done it to him and had not done it to him, verse 37 says, "Then the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Jesus called them brethren. And he said, however you have treated them, that's the way you have treated me. And so we find that way back in the Old Testament, God made a promise to the seed of Abraham. He said, "Those that curse you, I'll curse. Those that bless you, I'll bless." God hadn't changed his mind about that, friend. There's coming a time when the people who have stood against Israel and who have helped to bring them down and to stomp them down and to damage them, they'll have to stand before God at the judgment of the Gentiles and give an account. And friend, if the Lord spoke to your heart today, won't you please ask him to save you? For I know on the authority of God's word, if you will, he'll do just that. Now God bless you. Stay safe during the storm. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you again here next week at this same time. God bless you.